What's up, podcast listeners? It's Nate Russell. I'm here to tell you about another podcast on this UCB Comedy Podcast Network, my show, the UCB Digital Podcast. I bring on writers, directors, editors, actors, producers, and get the inside scoop on what's happening in the world of comedy filmmaking. It's like a fancy Hollywood networking party, but instead of having to actually socialize, you just sit back and put your headphones on. There's new episodes every single Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Guys, we're trying something a little fun and new. We had such a good time during our VR episode interacting with our listeners and getting their best Definitely Dying stories that we want to ask you guys to share any stories you have with us. So if you have any stories about either thinking you were sick and being wildly wrong, or actually getting sick, or a wild injury story. Basically, if you have any stories you would tell at a party, if it was a party full of people who didn't mind a downer story, give us a call at our Definitely Dying hotline. The number is 323-388-3879. I'll repeat it. And that's 323-388-3879. And you can leave your story on a little Google Voice answering machine. Yeah. And maybe we'll feature it on the show.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be fun?
Wouldn't that be fun? Hello, I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad. And we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
And anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair. And
my knee hurts.
My arm is kind of rash.
Is that a rash?
And I had Asian food and that makes me feel kind of sick. I got a thing on the side of my ear.
I haven't cried in 3 years.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another Definitely Dying. You guys, it's a terrible day because our regular host, Ben Axelrad, is out sick. This is the first time we've had absences on this show before. I have missed the show for some travel purposes, but this is the first time either of us has actually missed the show because of being sick, which probably further supports the fact that we're hypochondriacs and not actually sick people. But Ben Axelrad has a cold. So I'm really excited because we have a replacement Ben, my husband Ben, who's been a guest on the show and a guest host before. Ben, welcome back.
Yeah, you got to have a Ben on the show. This is your Ben quota.
Yeah.
This is a worse Ben, but
no, you can't compare Bens. It's, you know, both Bens are special in their own way. But I'm especially excited that you're on the show today, Ben, because you're about to have a major medical procedure that we'll probably talk about in subsequent episodes on the show.
Yeah, it's true. I'm getting my tonsils taken out like next week. It's the first surgery I've ever had. It's going to be pretty exciting.
Have we talked on this show about how enormous your tonsils are?
I think maybe in one of the episodes that I've been on, but they're, just to reiterate, they're really big. So Madeline came with me to my tonsil pre-operation today.
Yeah.
Which was just a consultation with my
consultation.
That's great. You should work for the ear, nose, and throat doctor.
I would make consultation business cards, and that's what I give people before their consultation.
So it was very satisfying because he looked in my mouth and you got to hear him say, "Whoa, those are big tonsils."
Yeah, he said size 4, which I think was a joke.
But no, it's not. I think it's from 1 to 5.
That's crazy.
Because he's talked in those terms before.
Oh, really? Yeah, he was like, and he was like, "Whoa, they're not even infected. They're just huge."
And the biggest reason I'm getting them taken out is because I just don't feel like I can breathe as well as I should be able to.
Yeah, like a pretty fundamental part of being alive.
Yeah, yeah, and he, like, said this should really help breathing because it's just that there's not enough. I'm already a mouth breather. And there's so little space
your
for
nose
oxygen
is bad
to go
too.
In. My nose is bad. Well, most
your
of it's bad.
Your nose is all stuffy.
You got a bad husband.
No.
Just health-wise. When you went to the husband store.
See, so I went to the pre-op and it's going to be like a pretty, he kept, the guy kept saying like, this is not a major surgery, but kind of it is.
Well, the reaction I've gotten from a lot of people I tell that I'm getting my tonsils taken out is people are like, oh no.
Yeah.
That feels really bad. Like anybody who's had it done, like, is sort of warning me off of it.
Yeah.
And like people are just trying to tell me that this is no joke. It's just really gonna hurt bad.
And 2 weeks of recovery time.
Yeah. Like 3 days of like really I can't do anything.
Yeah.
And then after that we'll see how much I'm trying to slide out the door without you noticing. To go do like aqua sports and stuff.
Aqua sports? You've never done that before.
I just think I'm going to be craving it.
So do you want to tell a little bit about like what the actual surgery is going to be on the day?
I think it's pretty simple. I think they just lop them right out.
But right? You have to go really early. It's surgery.
Yeah, I go you to the to hospital go,
we have to
at 6:30.
In the morning.
Madeline's going
to
go with me. And, you know, what else is there to it? They're going to put me out.
Yeah, they're going to put you out. And so you'll be in the surgery for an hour. And then there's they take you to a recovery room, a post-op recovery room.
Yeah.
And then you'll be done by noon. So it'll be like a 6-hour deal.
And they say that 10% of people who get it, like at some point, like a couple of weeks later, they just start bleeding in their mouth. And have to go back to the hospital.
Yeah. What he said today was like, he was like, now it won't be a problem. Only 10% of people, like mostly people are fine. 10% of people will sometimes have a little bit of bleeding. Sometimes they'll have a lot of bleeding. I just tell you this so if Ben ends up throwing up large amounts of blood, you're not alarmed. Just take him to the emergency room.
So I hope it's tonsil related if I'm throwing up those large amounts of blood, because maybe we should be alarmed.
Are you, how scared do you feel about this surgery?
Right now, I'm only excited.
Really?
Yeah.
What are you excited for?
Oh, I feel like I've just been slightly drowning for the last 30 years, and I'm going to get to finally get all the air I need. I'm excited. I feel... like I have a hope that I come out of this with like more energy than I've ever had before. More oxygen is going to my brain, so I'm slightly smarter. I talk kind of faster. I want to come out of here like just a more action-y version of myself.
This will be like your superhero origin story.
Yeah, because it really is. It's like a fundamental change. I've always had... Just picture if you had went through your whole life mm-hmm. with something blocking a good amount of your air.
Yeah.
And then you're finally going to get it out. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It effectively is like someone took two cherries and stuck them in your throat and was like, hey, just do your best.
Now do everything.
Yeah.
Go through all of life with this.
Now, can you tell everybody what... the dumb thing you're excited about the surgery?
I don't know what you're talking about, that my voice is going to change forever.
You keep talking about how you're excited to lose weight because you're not going to be able to eat
I am excited about losing weight. And the doctor said it again today. He said, expect to lose weight.
I know.
I'm excited. I think that, you know, he said at one point 10 pounds is possible from this diet of not being able to eat hard foods. So I would just love to get to, I'm like, I hover around 170 right now.
Yeah.
I'd love to have these tonsils bring me down to 160. I also imagine they weigh something. So
probably not enough.
Well, that's going to be good too. And then I feel like if I could just get down to 160, then I'll be really motivated at the gym to keep it down. Everything else is going to, it's going to be easier to get down to my goal weight of 120.
Before we talk to our guest, what I would love for you listeners to do, if you can, tweet at us with, I want two recommendations. If any of you guys have had your tonsils out as an adult, I would love to know any snack recommendations, like any like, you know, I know they say like you can eat ice cream all the time, but also like you're very badly lactose intolerant. some maybe like some good ice cream alternatives. And then also, if you have any recommendations for some good movies to watch or shows to binge, because I think you're going to be out of commission for a really long time. Maybe hashtag consultation.
That's a great hashtag.
Oh, thank you.
I really am excited about my voice possibly changing.
How do you think it's going to sound?
Because my friend Benjamin Mernick, when he was like 6 or 7, he got his tonsils out and his voice was never the same after. So,
well, but isn't that because he was a kid and then he grew up?
We don't know. We'll find out after I get them taken out. But I think my voice is going to sound like this.
Hello, Madeline. How are you now?
How am I now?
You like me better?
No. Okay. I think that's that's like a little upsetting.
Okay, so let's hope it's not like that. Well, good to see.
Should we start the podcast?
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Guys, we have a great guest today. I'm really excited. I've emailed her so many times. I won't stop bothering her. That's how much I want her to be on this show. You've seen her on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, on Take My Wife, on CISO. You've seen her at UCB in Quick and Funny Musicals every month. You can see her very soon on October 13th at the Asian AF show, or Asian as fuck if you want to be R-rated about it. Guys, Give a warm welcome wherever you are to Tess Barras.
It better be warm. I can feel it. It's not.
Thank you. What a lovely intro.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. Greatest intro.
Oh, man. Now that Ben Axelrod usually gets nervous about doing the intros, and now that he's not here, I got nervous about
it
doing
it. It is really high pressure.
It is really high pressure because
if you screw it, you never know who you can offend, and I'm like very easily offended. You know, you did a wonderful job.
Oh my God.
Stellar job.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, we like to start the podcast with the same sort of question, to kind of just an easy breezy question to get things rolling.
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think about death?
Maybe 6.5. Six and a half, seven-ish.
Okay.
Like, it depends. Like, 10, I don't walk around. Yeah. I mean, it depends on your notion of a lot, you know? And I don't know. I do. Oh, man, I'm ready just, like, spilling the beans.
Yeah, please.
I'm like, let me just go right into it. I do journal. I try to do it every day or every other day. And I usually do it at the end of the night. And at the end of the night when I journal, I do this thing that a friend told me about. And she was like, do your rose, your thorn, and your bud. Meaning, it's a metaphor for your rose, the best thing that happened that day.
Uh-huh.
The thorn, like the worst or weirdest. And the bud, and what you're looking forward to.
Ooh,
and so it's a really great thing to take stock, even if it's a quick journal entry, even if I don't have time to like write down all my thoughts and feelings. I'm just like, okay, these are the three things. And there is a tiny piece of me that when I finish, I'm like, all right, well, if that was my last day, that's it.
How do you feel? Do you feel good or scared?
Both. But hopefully I'm like, it was an eventful enough day, or if I like completed enough, you know, acts of service or like helped somebody or had a good conversation, that I was like, all right, I'd be cool with that one being my last. And if I didn't do anything, I'll beat myself up and be like, well, that was a shit day. Maybe I should stay up and like help someone or donate some money to something, because otherwise I'm screwed. And that was the worst day, and that's the worst way to go out. I really went on a low note. But I guess I think about it to that extent where it's like a little part of me thinks about it. At least right before.
How often do you think about it outside of that?
When it will come up in conversation, I think colloquially, when somebody goes like, oh, fucking kill me, and I'm like, or something like that, or if somebody says like some sort of colloquial thing about that, I'm like, we don't want to talk about that, because that's good. People could be really thinking about their own, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just takes me there. And so I think loosely in conversation, or if a movie comes up or something or with the topic, it's tough. It's tough. And, you know, it's funny because also my boyfriend, my partner, he is a psychologist.
Oh.
And he works with patients who, you know, might be thinking about suicide. So I'm like, okay, you really have to, it makes you really take stock of what your day is and life and all that sort of stuff. Even now, thinking about it, I'm like getting sweaty. It is warm in here, but I'm like, so I am thinking like, oh yeah,
is,
I really
is death a thing
often.
You're pretty afraid of?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I don't know, but I also wonder like what's normal, you know? Like, where should people be? I don't know. So I guess some people are better at coming to terms with their own death than I am.
Like, let's say, like in your like early hundreds, you're in a position where you might die.
Right.
Do you think that at that point, like, you'll be like, no, please, I'm not ready?
Hopefully at that point, I feel like I would have done enough to feel like, okay, I did what I was supposed to do. You know, I feel like there's something about being doing enough to feel like complete. I don't know.
So your bigger fear is like unexpected death somehow.
Yeah.
Along
like
the way.
I wasn't done.
Yeah.
yeah. That sort of
thing. Is there anything that if you could accomplish, you would be like, okay, I feel okay if I died tomorrow.
I think like having a family, you know, I feel like those are certain like and even being closer with my own, I think those are that's stuff that I work at and I would like to accomplish and something about like being more significant to a small tribe, like small community in a way, you know?
That's really, nobody said that before. That's the first, like, because,
well,
you know,
I'm
that's really
here.
Cool.
Thanks
yeah.
so much.
It was so nice to talk to you. Goodbye.
My job is done. Really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like there's something to me about being impactful to like a group of people that to me is like what the legacy is.
Yeah.
Like what, I don't know, what my purpose or meaning of life is to me.
So you've said like a lot about making a difference or like doing an act of service.
Right.
Is that something you think about a lot?
Totally.
Like, yeah. Where does that come from?
I would have to say it's probably familial. Like my parents are both doctors.
Ah.
And that was, and honestly, like I think about them and I'm like, yo, their love language was service for sure because it didn't come out any other way.
They weren't for real.
They weren't like, we love you. We see you. Like none of that.
Oh.
Not a hug. If I did, I got like a side hug. Like
really?
It was none of that. But it was like, how do we help? Like it's that.
Help it's you that. Or help other
help,
people?
Same. Anybody. Help family members. Help. Yeah, it was just help. That was how you expressed love.
That's really interesting.
And so, you know, now, like, as an adult, I'm like, hug me, tell me you love me.
Oh, yeah,
also help. But,
that's
for sure came from, like, from my familial, like, I don't know.
What kind of doctors were they?
My dad was, he switched specialties when I was younger, but he was a cardiologist for a little while. And then in later years, he was an ER physician. So that was a whole thing. Yeah. And he had like the 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. shift. So I would like see him in the morning and have breakfast real quick before I like ran out to go to school.
My bias is that like scarier injuries happen between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m.
Oh, for sure. Like I grew up in Southern California and he worked at Encino. And like even then, like even, you know, you wouldn't think anything would happen at like Encino. But there would be, you know, like gang related injuries and stuff like that or crazy stuff. And it was a weird household in that way to come home. And he would just. There's a part of him that he would have to turn off and on, and he was kind of stoic about all the stuff that he had seen. He'd be like, well, if I saved this guy, another guy was going to threaten my life if I saved one guy. And you're like, wow, okay, well, how do you deal with that? He's like, well, then security guard just walked me to my car. So that was
Wait,
it.
If he saved, oh, because of gang stuff?
Yeah, so oh, like if he saved one gang member's life, then this other guy would threaten to kill him if he saved.
That's crazy.
We went so deep so fast. I'm like,
were you ever scared? Like, did that make you nervous, like, for your dad, or?
I didn't know how to judge it. Like,
yeah.
They're just at home. My parents were not the most emotional. And this is, they totally do, like, feed into that stereotype of, like, the non-emotive Asian parent thing.
Uh-huh.
And that was them. Like, my dad was, like, just, like, this amazing doctor robot person who would go to work, save a bunch of lives, come home. Like, have a piece of coffee cake and a coffee and go to bed.
Coffee cake is also the most stoic dessert I can imagine.
It's like square. Yeah. You know?
Like, this is named for the purpose of what it's supposed to be consumed
right,
with.
Exactly.
It's not that fun. But,
exactly. Yeah. It's like, I will have one piece of square coffee cake and a cup of coffee. And that's my breakfast. And I have done my service for the day. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, so that was my dad. And then my mom had a private practice for a while, for like family practice. Mm-hmm. And then she moved into working in insurance. So she was a medical reviewer. And so she was able to, you know, I don't even know the scope of her job, but like something where a bunch of ex-doctors and ex-nurses worked in her department to review cases for insurance.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. 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 That has to be something.
Did she like it?
Do my parents like, I don't know what my parents even like. Like, I'm not even talking about like this stoic thing. Like, I'm like, I don't know. I think when you have immigrant parents, they're just like, we're going to do the thing that will count on bringing us monetary success.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they liked it or not. I'm not going to be like, was it a fun day at work today, Dad? Like, yeah. That was never a conversation.
Yeah.
It was like, why did you get an A-? Like, that was the conversation at dinner. It was not.
So then how excited were they about you deciding to be an actress and stuff like that?
Totally bummed. totally bummed. Yeah, I feel like even to this day, like I always say, like, I could be sitting across from Oprah doing like a tell-all interview and my parents will be like, why didn't you stick with marketing? Like, I could be, yeah, anything. It's just not a, they don't, I think it's because they don't understand it so much. Like, they know what they can get from like watching E or Access Hollywood. And like, that's like what they know. And I'm sure you guys have family members like this too, where they're like, so what are you wearing? But that's like the only extent of what they know of like your Hollywood life.
Yeah,
or what
yeah.
wardrobe was that? Or makeup and hair?
Yeah.
Or, you know, is it, you know, but they, yeah, they don't understand like the day to day. So I feel like it's hard for them to appreciate it because they don't understand the inner workings of it.
Yeah.
This is more like therapy than you guys.
So I'm mean, like, if it is, share. We're doing our job. This is great. Yeah. So then having doctor parents, how did that affect your relationship with your own health? Like, did you grow up thinking about like injuries and sickness a lot, or did you grow up kind of taking it for granted in
a
way?
Well, I always knew that I would be taken care of. So I felt like if I was sick, they would always have the answer.
Yeah.
Like immediately. Or they would have the answer. And sometimes they would go above and beyond and maybe think a little too much, like be like, just make sure it's not pneumonia. And I'm like, it's a cold.
Oh, so they were, being doctors almost made them hypochondriacs?
Yes.
Weird.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yes. Yeah. They were like, it's mono. I'm like, it's not mono. I'm like, what do you, I have a cold and it's just, you know, whatever. Like,
Yeah.
So that was crazy. I think also like the birds and the bees conversation was not really a conversation so much as like horrifying.
What was, how did it go?
Well, I remember like we would have sex ed in school around like what, 6th, 7th, or I don't even know what year it would.
Yeah.
But they knew that I was studying it in school, so they wanted to be a part of that conversation.
Uh-huh.
But there was no heads up. It was not like, oh, heads up, we want to have this talk with you whenever you're ready. Just to prepare you.
Yeah.
It was like literally one day I'm studying in my room and my parents are in the kitchen and I hear them yelling, Marites, Marites, and I'm like, what? I felt like something was wrong. I was like, they're like, we have to talk to you, Marites. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm coming. And so I get to the kitchen and they have on the kitchen table a bunch of Journal of American Medical Association like magazines or whatever they're called, like the open, right? They have them just open to pictures of like penises and vaginas with like a bunch of stuff wrong with them.
No.
So they're like, my mom picks up this book and she opens it and there's just like a penis with like warts and like all this nasty, I don't even know, like
the
most
warts,
disgusting.
The warts penis are
she
the worst.
She just shows me a picture of like a warts penis. And she's like, if you ever see this, run away.
I'm like, great advice.
I know. And I'm like, yeah, what do you think I'm going to do? I don't know.
If but you I'll ever see this, run away.
And I was like, yeah, this is a professional doctor telling you.
You're going to want it, but
you're going to want it. In the throes of passion, you're going to want it.
You're going to want this.
You're going to want this warty penis. But like the image of just stacks and stacks of books and magazines on the kitchen table was hilarious to me. And they didn't go through them all because at that point I was like, no, I'm done here. I'm going to do this at school with my bio teacher, whatever health teacher or whatever it was. I was like, I'm not doing this with you. If you're going to do this, this is not. We're not. I'm out.
I love just the image of them before you got downstairs. Finding all of those together and like leafing
they
through.
Had to. You're totally right. Like, they were there. The coffee cake.
Yeah. The amount of time it must have taken them to find all the warts, penis sections,
and just
everything.
Open them up. It was to cover a table. It was like 8 or 9 books. It was definitely like a bunch. And I was like, well, I just can't. I can't do this.
Was it okay to talk about relationships?
Oh hell no.
Okay.
Oh hell no. No way. Yeah, like not at all.
So you kept it a secret?
Kind of. I think my mom just knew that things were happening at group hangs. You know, like I went out and you know, I'm going to the movies with 8 people.
Yeah.
You know, like, and this is a group hang. And you know, and she knew a couple of my friends who I wasn't like romantically involved with, but she also would also know like, oh, there might be something going on there, or I don't know. And I just remember like the most horrifying thing happened where I did have a boyfriend in high school, and he drove me up to my like our driveway. And we were like kissing in the driveway, and I didn't think it through. I guess I was just, you know, in the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
My mom comes to the window of the car knocks on the window, and she just like makes a like "you're out of there" sign like with her thumb. She's like, "You out."
Oh no.
And I was like, "All right, I have to go. Bye. Thanks." That. It was romantic and beautiful.
Did she say anything?
No.
And they're like, we'll never speak of this again.
That's exactly it. It was just like these giant moments where, you know, all this stuff happens, and my mom just gave me the "you're out" like a, I don't know. I just
like
had
an umpire.
This, yeah, like an I envision like an umpire in a muumuu. Like I just envision her in like a floral house gown. She really did wear these things, like this like house gown or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's like, "You are done. You're out of there. Get out of that minivan." It was like the Mazda MVP or whatever that was, like his mom's soccer mom band. And I was like, oh God. It's terrible.
Did you have a STD like slideshow experience?
Slideshow.
Like my school, so we had sex ed we had sex ed in middle school. Like we had like classes where we had to have an egg baby, where like we had to like carry an egg all around
to
show how hard it is to have a baby.
That's so like Saturday morning show. Yeah. That's so like Saved by the Bell.
And also in retrospect, carrying around a baby is the worst way to show you how hard having a baby is, because it's fucking easy. It's like saying like having a baby is the same as having a purse. Like,
this is what it is.
Yeah, it makes it seem not hard at all. You're like, it's like fun because you could decorate it.
Right.
We did have one assignment where we had to like look up, we had to draw our income out of a hat. And then we had to look up like how much it would cost to like feed our baby and stay in an apartment.
Were you
and
rich?
Stuff.
Did you get?
I was not rich. I think it was hard to make ends meet, but that didn't leave as much of an impact. It's just like basically I was just hanging. I just carried a hard boiled egg with me, which I do most days anyway, because it's a good snack.
So wait, the circumstances were you just had the? Did you pick who you were paired with?
No, okay. I don't think so. I think they paired us with someone, and I think we had to trade the baby off. So everybody was in like a divorce situation.
Shared custody.
Everybody had shared custody. And we had a baby, we could name it. It was mostly I remember the fun parts where you're like, pick a name for your egg baby. And then like, you can like, make a little outfit for it.
I wonder if middle school still do that now.
That's a great question.
You know, like, do they do that now? And also, are there more factors? Like,
yeah.
do they, do, talk about all that. I mean, I love the income factor.
Yes.
That
was
good.
And I remember looking in the phone book for, I think we had to call and see how much. No, I was looking in the classifieds. We had to look in the classified ads to see different wages that we could get if we got certain jobs.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That stresses me
out.
Yeah,
that was very stress. I mean, that's like the part that I most vividly remember. But it feels like still an egg. Like, I remember reading in a book where they had to have sugar babies, where you had to carry around a sack of sugar.
Yes.
And that feels at least better because your arm gets tired.
An egg is
egg is truly so easy.
Come on.
So we had egg babies. So that was the kind of sex ed we had in middle school. But then in high school, there was one day where all of us, I went to a very big high school. So it was like probably everybody in my class, which was like 400 people, we all went into the auditorium and they played a slideshow of STD pics. So they played like the warts penis and like a vagina that looked like it was like just decaying of something. Like it was honestly some of the most horrifying shit I've ever seen in
my whole life.
And like I was wondering if that's a universe. Is that universal at all?
The slideshow.
Yeah, I think we had just about that.
Yeah.
My embarrassing memory from being in 7th grade was that we had to write what our idea of a healthy relationship was.
This is so good. I love that.
I remember writing like, "Oh, we like have a fireplace." like every night we like read like to each other by the fire. And I remember my science teacher, because she did health class in 7th grade.
Our gym teachers did health class.
Yeah. She wrote, just the comment on it was very romantic.
We have a fireplace and we read to each other every night. That's amazing.
I love the idea of your science teacher also being like, that sounds really nice.
She's like, stick with it. Keep it up. You guys, I hope you guys have a fireplace and read to each other every night.
We don't. We don't have a fireplace. I would love a fireplace.
Yeah, we're just too poor.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh my God. I do not have a fireplace.
That would be nice.
We have a slight fly infestation.
Yeah, we have a bunch of flies in our house. Yeah, if you wanted to really predict the future, you would be like, my idea of a healthy relationship is to have a bunch of flies. You don't know where they're coming from.
Exactly.
And you proofread a bunch of emails about jobs you may never get.
Right. Oh, but being there through that time, that's the healthy part. Right.
Do you remember what anybody else wrote?
Well, I didn't get to read either. I think it was all for our science teacher. Well, that's a good question.
That's not even an assignment in the curriculum. She just wanted to know for herself.
She was like, what is a healthy relationship? Yeah.
Now that I think about it.
She's like, I need a brainstorm here. Class, what are your ideas? Come on, blue sky, let's go.
I don't know if we talked about this on the podcast, but one of my health assignments was, one of my high school, we had written assignments in health, and one of the written assignments was to write a letter to a previous sexual partner telling them you may have HIV.
Oh my God. This is so traumatizing.
Yes.
Why is that approved by anyone?
I don't know.
Where did you go to
high school? I went to a public high school in New Jersey. I found this essay pretty recently where I, who had never had anything remotely resembling a sexual encounter, wrote this like letter to like a fictionalized guy named Bobby who I like had met on the docks during the summer. Like, I don't even know what that meant, but it was like we shared a great summer on the docks.
A tryst and then, on the docks.
And then it was two single spaced pages with my response. And it was about how like he may have HIV. And was like, there was a line in it that was like, I tried to call you several times, but every time the phone rang, I hung up because I didn't know how to tell you. I also got an A on that.
There's so much annoying technical mumbo jumbo in that essay for you to actually be telling him he might have HIV. Like, if I were him, I'd be so angry.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I remember I think it was our bio teacher in high school. And this is the thing about like teachers oversharing. I feel like we were going through some sort of like reproductive health chapter or something like that. And she was like, yeah, everybody has HPV. I have HPV. She's like, I also have herpes, but not that kind that down there. Just the kind that gives you stuff on your lip. It's like a cold sore. And I was like, I was just sitting there stunned like a deer in headlights. Like, what is happening? Why is she telling all of us this? She has herpes, the cold sore kind. Everyone has HPV.
Everyone has HPV.
I was like, I don't think this is in the book. She's riffing.
So funny. Like,
all right. Okay, fine. She's the cool teacher.
It must be so horrible to be a health teacher. Because it's nobody's first job. It's like just somebody gets, like, it draws the short straw and they, like, have to also teach health in addition to whatever they already teach.
Oh, somebody wants to do it.
Somebody does. Somebody's like, I want to take this chair and turn it around and sit backwards.
I want to press play on all the Lifetime movies about a lady getting roofied.
Oh, my God.
We watched a lot of Lifetime movies.
Lifetime movies in high school?
Yeah.
What school was this?
It's called Columbia High School, right, in Maplewood, New Jersey. Why? Zach Braff went there. The Roy Scheider from Jaws went there. Lauryn Hill went there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And they had a questionable curriculum.
You guys, Zendaya went to my high school. Not that we're at all the same age, but she went to Oak Park High School.
Whoa.
And, you know, that's
that's a pretty good get.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like way later, but hey.
But yeah.
But hey, she made it cool. So I'm really proud to say I'm from there now.
Oak Park High.
I wasn't before.
Yeah.
But now I am.
Oak Park High, you're Zendaya's classmate.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
So have you had... what is the scariest medical experience you've had? Have you like had a lot of? Have you had a lot of bad medical experiences?
No, I think I've had. Yeah, as a kid, you just like have like rough and tumble stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think the scariest thing that I had was after I had graduated college, and this is gonna like speaking of reproductive health, this is like a lady thing.
Uh-huh.
So I had a lady thing called a Bartholin cyst.
What is that? That sounds like
okay
from Harry Potter.
This is like, and also this is like a horrifying thing to have because you don't know what's going on down there.
Yeah.
And this is apparently, so the Bartholin's gland, guys, this is really
Oh, it's a gland.
It's a gland that all ladies, you have two of them.
Oh.
Okay, so ladies, we got two of these glands.
Bartholin's I don't have
gland.
It.
Guys, you have a...
Can I say, though, you don't have it, but a woman in FedEx did refer to the two of us as ladies the other day.
That's completely unnecessary to bring that up.
I just feel like everybody should know that she said, you ladies have a nice day.
You two Bartholin gland possessors.
You have great hair, Ben. That's what it is.
Thank you. That's really nice. It's pretty short right now.
It's very shiny and lustrous.
You do have beautiful hair.
It's shiny and lustrous hair, and that's a great mane.
Thank you guys so much. That's really nice.
But men do have the equivalent of a Bartholin's gland, and I don't know what it's called at all. But this is the gland.
A Bartomen's gland?
Yep, that's what it is. Hey! Hey, hey, hey!
Sorry, you're saying something important.
But this gland is a very sexy gland. It lubricates the vagina for sex.
Oh!
Okay?
That is an important gland.
It's an important gland.
Yeah!
You got two of them, ladies. And
just for sex?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when a woman is aroused, the gland secretes lube.
It's that KY gland.
It's that KY gland. It's your natural KY gland.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm surprised nobody knows what that is.
I know. I didn't know what it was when this was happening to me.
That's crazy.
I know. So ladies, talk about your vaginas more. Begin with this podcast, not with scary warty penises or whatever you're bearing. It's like, this is a total, now this is the sex education podcast.
Yeah, I mean, it's great.
But so this was, I was freaking out because I was with my boyfriend at the time and sex had hurt. And I was like, what the hell is going on down there? Like, it's painful. And then I, down there, felt what was going on. And I was like, there's a freaking lump. And I was like, what is this?
Yes.
I am frightened.
Yes.
I probably have all the cancers.
Yeah, yeah. Any lump equals cancer.
I have all the cancers of the places that you can have. I have all of them. I have all the cancers. I'm scared. Go to the doctor. And they're like, no, this happens all the time. They're like, this happens all the time. It's your Bartholin's gland. If you, you know, if you had sex, sometime, like something happened with friction or whatever,
yeah,
and it
yeah.
wasn't able to do its job and like open up properly and lubricate the vagina. Like it
okay,
wasn't,
okay, pop, yeah.
but like something happened. And
yeah.
all you have to do is go and take like an Epsom salt bath and try and do that like every night this week and see
Whoa.
If it goes down by itself. It's like, okay, cool. So I like bought a bunch of Epsom salts.
Yeah.
Like my roommates were like, yo, chill it with Epsom. Like the whole bathroom. And it like,
and
was
like,
just like,
now
take
I gotta salt
and I was
up
like,
my gland.
I gotta yeah. take this bath, salt up this gland, because I need to get back to having sex.
Yeah.
So I was taking these baths and it wasn't going away and it was like super painful.
Oh,
and so
no.
I kept going back to the doctor and I was like, what? Is there medication?
Yeah.
What can I do? She's like, well, take ibuprofen for the pain. If it gets worse, like keep taking the baths. Like just keep
yeah,
doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
It didn't go away for like a month. And I was like, this is painful to the point where I couldn't sit down anymore. Like
oh,
I was
geez.
Sitting at work at like my part-time job and I was like, I can't do that, you know,
yeah.
whatever, all this stuff. And so we go and she's like, all right, we're going to put in a catheter and drain it.
Ah, no.
And I was like, this is, I can't believe I am sharing that. All your faces are like so horribly disgusted. And I'm sure all your viewers, listeners at home
gosh,
are like,
drain it.
No, so this is what happens, ladies, your KY gland. That she had to drain the KY. So we went, and this is like a minor procedure where they put in a catheter and essentially like a balloon to like open up. Your like
yeah.
lubrication gland, and it was so painful.
Did they like numb? They didn't numb it or anything.
They do numb it. Like the procedure itself is fine, but like mm-hmm. walking around afterwards with a little balloon and a catheter in your vag.
Oh, you had to leave it in.
You leave it in.
Oh, because there's a catheter.
Yes.
Oh, that's crazy.
You leave.
Oh, that's
that
nuts.
In.
Where did you? What did you wear?
You just like jeans, and you just like walk around with like a.
And you just
like,
where'd you put it?
Hat.
Like it's like. Oh, it's
so
like
just
little
like in granny panties.
Yeah,
I'm just really sure.
And you have a little balloon.
Like, uh-huh.
You have a little balloon of pus
I'm just engaged.
Just in your.
You have a balloon of lady lube.
Oh my gosh,
that's just like ready to go.
That's crazy,
and it hurts like hell, and you can't sit down,
and you can't like really explain it to people because
what are you supposed to say?
Yeah.
Like yeah, my
yeah, like,
my lube.
Yeah, I have a cyst in my vagina. It's being drained. Yeah.
Did it work?
No. Here's the thing.
Oh,
it didn't
no.
work. So I had to go back
oh, shit.
And have a surgery. And so now...
Were they shocked that it didn't work?
No.
Okay.
They weren't shocked
what?
That it didn't work. Apparently that this happens. They're like, yeah, some people, this just doesn't drain. It's just like you're permanently going to like be clogged down there. And I was like, what is wrong? And they're like, yeah, sometimes the valve doesn't work. Because, you know, like valves open and close when you're
yeah.
aroused. It's supposed to open and lubricate your vag.
Yeah, yeah.
And so... yeah, so it didn't work. And I was like, what do we do now? And they're like, you have to get this is a very common surgery. You have to get the gland marsupialized. And I was like, marsupialized like a kangaroo.
Like a kangaroo.
Like they make a little pouch.
Oh my gosh. And that's the technical word?
Yeah, so they
that's
call it.
That's a great word.
I know. So they, so you're looking it up right now. So you look up the marsupialization of a Bartholin's gland, which is a very common procedure. A lot of ladies get this done. And so, you know, ladies, hopefully we can all be talking about
this. Yeah.
And so they go in and they open up the gland just so it's like open.
Uh-huh.
And they like make the little pouch open.
Why didn't they do that
permanently?
The first time you came in.
I don't know. You have to try all the things and be
yeah.
in pain for like 2 months.
Yeah,
first.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
why not?
Oh, yeah.
Walk around with a catheter and a
yeah.
balloon and
yeah.
for 2 months in New York City and
yeah.
like
oh
hate
my
your life.
Oh, God, you were in New York?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That's this just got 10 times more horrible.
I was like working at my part time, like copywriting job and like going to auditions for commercials and like UCB classes and all that sort of stuff.
And you just have a
like,
balloon
a
of
vag
pus in your pants
oh,
the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh,
thanks so much for calling it vag pus, Madeline. It's really.
It's
I was
just,
trying to keep it sexy by calling it like lube, but you're calling it.
It's just like such a New York story. I feel like almost in everyone in their own way has that story if they live
like,
in New York.
I got this thing. I'm hiding on the subway. It's
yeah.
a balloon of vagina lube. So yeah, so I had the marsupialization surgery. And so now when you're properly aroused, everything works fine.
Great.
Nothing's whatever. And yeah, there's
that's
now,
great.
Now we're trying to keep it sexy, people. So you know, that's the thing.
Well,
well,
this is actually a perfect segue because so when you So you sent us a couple, like you gave me a heads up that we were going to talk about this today. And like, and the idea that like women should be talking more about their vaginas was like kind of inspiring. And so I asked Ben to make a quiz about vaginas for us to both answer to see how much we really know about our vaginas.
I don't know anything besides that thing. Besides...
I mean, I probably don't either, but Ben, now you are an expert.
Well, don't take my word for any of this.
Is this not a metaphor for our society that Ben is administering the quiz?
Yeah.
Ladies, what do you know? I have all the answers.
It'll be a real metaphor if whatever we answer, he's like, you're wrong. I know best.
So hopefully we'll learn a lot by doing this quiz, but if it's anything's wrong, tweet at Definitely Dying. You should just tweet hashtag Ben's wrong.
Get that trending.
Are you guys ready for the quiz?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And I should say there's a prize at the end of it.
Is it lube? It better be lube.
It's not a great prize.
Oh, but this is so fun. I've never to get a prize on my own show.
Don't get your hopes
up. Jeez, if I win. Okay.
So, question number one.
Oh, geez.
There are 4,000 nerve endings in the penis. I'm telling you that.
Okay.
How many nerve endings can be found in the clitoris?
This is not multiple choice. We're just going
to
Oh my god, it's just a test.
I gave you the penis nerve endings as a frame of reference. Now you have to see if you can extrapolate from that. Do you think that?
Okay. Are we going through all of them or one by one?
No, you guys can. So. Tess, what about you first?
Okay, since you said there were 4,000, I'm just going to say there's double that. So I'm going to say 8,000.
Okay, that's an interesting answer.
I said 7,000.
Madeline said 7,000. Tess, you win exactly. It's 8,000.
How did you know that? I don't know. I just tried to think. It's probably double.
Yeah.
It's probably, but that's such a good guess.
Okay.
According to MedicalDaily.com, powerful sensations can spread across a woman's pelvic area by affecting 15,000 other nerve endings. Very good.
Is the prize hearing you read?
Yeah.
Because it's a great prize.
Well, I'm glad you like that prize. Okay. So question number two. The word vagina is a Latin word. Mm-hmm. What is the literal translation of the word vagina? So just maybe put a little guess and then.
Okay.
The literal translation of the word vagina in Latin. Now I feel like I used
it. Yeah, because it kind of means something else in Latin, though it's become our English word. We've like taken this Latin word that kind of means something
else.
See,
you're talking as if you knew this beforehand. Like you're doing that thing that like Alex Trebek does when he's like, didn't you know this, you morons?
Can you? I want you to host a show just called Vagina Jeopardy.
But what was it going to be? I don't know.
Okay.
This is tough for me.
Yeah, you go first. I guess, well, I just kind of, I don't think this is true, but I guess flower, because I feel like people are always like, lady flower.
That's a great and beautiful guess, Madeline.
Thank you.
I don't know. I feel like it's something... I don't know. I feel like it's something like womb. I don't know.
That's good.
Something like that.
That's a very, I like that guess too.
But it's
actually, so flower would be a better word for it, but it's actually, it comes from the Latin word that means sheath.
You put your sword in the vagina.
That's right. It's sword holder.
A bunch of bros in togas were like, dude, you know what we're going to call this?
A sheath. So it's kind of gross that it's like so male defined.
It's the Latin version of like meat wallet or whatever.
Oh my God.
That's a very sensual thing to say. Yeah.
And on that same topic, vulva is the Latin word for wrapper. So that's kind of interesting.
Rapper.
Like not like R-A-P-P-E-R.
That is, I am MC Vulva though. That is my rap name.
I'm sorry I didn't introduce you just as MC Vulva.
Well,
that was
you guys
really
didn't
my
know.
Bad.
Yeah. Like I'm a rapper. Also I DJ. Like it's a bunch of things. It's a whole thing.
Okay.
I can't believe it means sheep.
Meat
that's
wallet.
So disappointing to me.
So I'm going to give the point for this one. I'll give it to Madeline because I think flower was a really pretty answer.
Oh, I like your score.
Wow, this is really rigged.
Yeah.
Well, you've gotten, Tess, you've gotten a point.
Like,
Madeline has gotten a point.
This is like the hanging trad of a giant game.
Okay, question number three.
Okay.
The clitoral glands is the most sensitive part of the clitoris. It's the part that we see. You know, that's what the clitoral gland is.
Explain it more. Tell us more about our own vagina.
It's the part that we see.
But, okay. But guys, there's actually more hidden clitoral tissue that extends up into the vagina.
Oh,
if you, okay. If you include that part, how big is the average clitoris altogether?
Ooh.
Wow.
Great question.
If you include... the hidden clit?
Is that the what hidden clit? Yeah.
The hidden clit?
Yes. If you include the hid clit.
Hid clit plus clit. Show clit.
Hid clit plus show clit.
Okay, I'm gonna just take a guess.
I'm taking a guess too.
Okay, who wants to go first?
I'll go.
Okay.
I'm just gonna guess 3 inches.
Great guess.
Okay.
Madeline?
I guess 3 feet.
No, 3 feet.
I guess 1 inch.
Okay. Half of my body is my clit.
The point.
Your clit actually goes up to your nose.
It goes to your nose.
No, people rarely know.
If you just start at the nose.
Tess, you win.
Oh.
It's 4 to 5 inches.
4 to 5!
When you include a hid clit. Is that
That's
what it's called?
A long clit.
Wow.
I never
that
knew.
That is a long clit.
That's long.
I know. Isn't that cool?
Yeah. It is cool.
Hidden clit.
Something
hidden
to clit. Write home about.
I am sweating right now. I don't know if it's because it's hot in here. I'm nervous. I feel like this is a very intimate conversation.
Yeah, it really is. Thank you for making this clip.
We're learning so much,
hidden
right?
Hidden clit. 4 to 5 inches.
Hidden clit. 4 to 5 inches. Yeah.
This is question 4. What was the first movie to use the word vagina?
These are great. Oh.
A.
Oh, multiple choice now.
The 1927 film The Jazz Singer. B. The 1923 Charlie Chaplin film A Woman of Paris. C. The 1946 Disney film The Story of Menstruation. Or D. The 1993 film Ace Ventura Pet Detective.
I wish it was Pet Detective.
Maybe it is. Maybe we're so
Nobody
sexually repressed that that was the first time.
Pet Detective.
It could be.
That's too
Wait,
funny.
Aren't all...
Blazing Saddles got an R rating or like was X rated. I don't think they say vagina in that movie.
Really? So Blazing Saddles was X rated?
No
yeah,
way.
At the time.
Why?
Now I think it would be like R.
Probably be like PG-13.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm.
Also... wait, Charlie Chaplin, we mean, those were not talkies yet. No, those are silent.
So it's possible that
so it's like
it says, yeah, written.
Can you imagine?
It just says
Can
like
you imagine
vagina.
Charlie Chaplin. Yeah, like he's like, goes woo, woo. And then the next screen just says vagina. Also, I believe the jazz singer had no words in
yeah,
it.
Yeah, either.
I think the jazz singer had words. I think that was like one of the first talkies.
Oh, it was.
I think that's like what it's famous for.
Yeah, that's true.
What Singing in the Rain reference.
So, yes. So, Tess, your answer?
I hope it's Charlie Chaplin. I hope vagina flashed across the screen. I'm going to say B.
Okay, Charlie Chaplin for Tess and Madeline?
I'm going to say C, that Disney film, The Magic of Menstruation.
Is that a real movie?
Madeline, you got that one right. It was.
That's a real movie?
The Story of Menstruation made by the Disney company.
Whoa!
Okay, I have not to see this film.
Me
and I
either.
Would love to.
I got to look. We got a Netflix.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We've got something to watch tonight.
The Story of Menstruation.
Oh, my God.
I wonder if Disney would, like, redo that movie now. Or, like,
oh, yeah.
You know, Pixar, the graphics on that.
Oh my
be
gosh!
Beautiful.
Wait, Zig pulled it up.
Whoa!
It's okay. So far, it's a bunch of gears,
like kaleidoscope.
Yeah. Okay. Some flowers.
Flowers.
We got some flowers.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the forest.
Right. Where are all the sheaths?
There's a baby. First image of this menstruation story is a baby. Oh, it's a little girl playing with a baby. All right. So we're already sort of painting women as. Only able to be mothers.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, and now we got some fallopian tubes and a uterus.
Beautifully right. animated.
Yeah.
I would love a frame from that, like,
yeah.
printed and hung up in my bedroom. Wow, who knew that movie? Great.
So our
great
final
work.
Question. Are you guys ready for it?
Oh, yeah.
Question 5. It's a rare occurrence, but vaginas are capable of doing something called penis captivus. What is this phenomenon? A,
Penis captivus is when a vagina becomes specifically allergic to the penis of that vagina's significant other, though it remains unallergic to other penises.
That's so sad.
B, sad. Penis captivus is when a vagina traps a penis like a Chinese finger trap. C,
oh God.
Penis captivus is when a form of contraception is sucked up into a woman's abdominal cavity.
Oh.
Or D, penis captivus is when a vagina releases air pressure into a penis, creating a blood clot in the penis.
What?
It's one of those.
I mean, the word captivus means, like, you know, you feel like it's like something's being held
hostage. Stuck, yeah.
It's taken. The vagina taken. Sorry, Liam Neeson. Anyway, I'm going to guess C. That's my guess.
That one where it sucks up a condom?
Yeah. I don't know.
Sucks up a condom.
I don't know.
I'm really torn between that and B.
Me too.
And just to keep it interesting, yeah. I'll guess B.
Sure.
Where it gets stuck like a non-nationally specific finger trap.
Just a finger trap.
Yeah, just a regular old finger trap.
You know what? So, Tess, I'm so sorry. You're not right about it sucking up the condom. And I've got some interesting information for you guys. The vagina is not an open conduit to the abdominal cavity.
Oh, yeah, right.
So something cannot right. actually, I learned in my research that a condom cannot get lost.
Yeah,
because your vagina is not connected to your stomach.
So sperm can get through there, but tampons won't, and neither will condoms.
Great.
The answer is, Madeline, you're right. It is B. Vaginas are strong enough to clamp down on penises. This is known as penis captivus. It's a rare occurrence in intercourse when the muscles in the vagina clamp down with intensity on the penis, which makes it impossible for the penis to withdraw from the vagina.
You should ask your dad if he ever saw that in the ER.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I don't know why, but that just made me proud.
Yeah.
Like, I feel so powerful
and
strong.
You're not going anywhere. You think you're going bowling tonight? Oh, I don't think so, Barney.
From CBS comes Penis Captivus.
So, great job. Great job to both of you. Madeline
gets the prize.
You win.
I can't believe it.
So your prize is that Tess actually has to close her ears because I've got one final fun fact about vaginas that only you, Madeline, get to hear.
What?
And Tess won't get to hear it.
What?
So, Tess, could you please?
This is ridiculous. Withholding education from me is very uncomfortable.
You'll have to listen to the podcast if you want to hear this part.
Okay, sure.
So, your ears are closed?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So okay. Closed.
Okay, Madeline, this is just for you.
Okay.
One patient, this is from factretriever.com.
Oh, what a reputable site.
One patient visited a gynecologist complaining of vaginal itching and feeling like something is moving around inside.
Oh, no.
The examination revealed that there were two or three live maggots in her vagina. The gynecologist had no idea how the worms got into the vagina, but treated her with worming pills, cleaned the vagina, and told her not to put food products into her vagina.
Don't do it.
You'd be surprised. Another lady put a potato in there. You can look that up.
What?
At her 2-week checkup, the woman was free of maggots. So there you go, Madeline. That's your prize.
What a prize.
I totally heard that, and I feel like it was not a good visual at all.
How did she have 3 maggots in her vagina?
Oh, I'm so upset.
My sex life is so dead. There's maggots down there. That's another CBS sitcom. I feel like we just figured out the whole fall lineup for CBS. Two sitcoms. One about
penis
maggots,
captivus.
The other one about penis captivus.
Oh,
my gosh. Ben, thank you for doing that quiz.
Well, you
that
both did
really
a great job.
Stellar.
Yes. Congrats to both of you. And
thank you so much. Wow. As the man who knows so much about our vaginas.
Tess, is there anything you'd like to plug before we wrap up?
What can I plug? Yes. I mean, everybody, this comes out this week, but there's a cool show that's here at UCB called Asian AF, and it sells out within like a day every single time we do the show. But for October, we're going to be doing a special one called Filipino AF because October is Filipino American History Month.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So we get October. You know it's Filipino American History Month because there's candy at the end.
Wow.
That's totally taken from another joke that my friend Eric Sumo
called. Is that a Filipino
What? Thing? No, Halloween.
Oh, because there's candy at the end. I was like, I thought you meant the show.
No, 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 no. Halloween. Like,
Madeline,
Halloween.
You have to apologize.
It's fine.
Now.
I just didn't understand.
I didn't set up the joke. Right?
I said, yeah. But then I was like, but why?
Hashtag Madeline's wrong.
Yeah. That's totally a joke from my friend Eric, who's a playwright in Minneapolis.
No, that makes it's a great joke. I'm just a little stupid.
But I'm really excited. I think that's such a cool, we're at a cool time where there are, there's an audience for Asian American performers specifically to recognize Filipino Americans who are the second largest Asian American ethnic group in the United States.
Wait, I had no idea.
People don't know. They're like, Filipinos, oh, we exist. We're around everywhere. And no one ever calls it out. And
that's so cool.
Yeah. So we're super stoked to have that here at UCB.
That's awesome.
It's October 13th. And it's going to be an awesome show.
Yeah, that sounds really cool.
I feel like I've only recently become, I feel like I'm more aware of like the Filipino population just because there's so many awesome Filipino performers at UCB.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you guys just, it's like such a good job bringing awareness to the fact that it's like, hey, we're Filipino. We're part of this like big community. Like also with like all the people on Crazy X and everything.
Yeah.
It feels like sounds like it's going to be such a good show.
Crazy X, we're America's first Filipino family on TV. So that was
that's both cool
and
insane.
Cool. Yeah.
That happened in 2016?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's really.
It's bananas.
But, it's just a cool part of an evolution for the comedy community to be a part of, to have it here at UCB, which is really great.
It's really cool.
I'm super proud of it, and I'm stoked to do it. And, so we can plug that live show.
Awesome.
And other than that, y'all can follow me on Twitter at Tess Paras.
Sweet.
I will.
Yay. Thanks, guys.
This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes, and you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Definitely Dying.
Until next time, stay healthy.
What up, jabronis? This is Dan Black from the Comedians of Wrestling podcast. We got a pretty exciting live show, our first ever live show coming up at the UCB Theater, the Comedians of Wrestling Live. It's on September 23rd at 9 p.m. at UCB Sunset Theater. You can get your tickets on ucbtheater.com. We're going to have a live, hardcore professional wrestling match between two real professional wrestlers. They get paid to do this, and they're going to do it for you. We're also going to have a slew of hilarious comedians and stand-ups, and my wife, Jamie Lee, is going to be there talking about how she hates wrestling. Newman, what do you think?
I love it.
Yeah. September 23rd, get your tickets, ucbtheater.com. Don't be a jabroni. Be there. If you smell what I'm cooking.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.